And welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast.
What time to be alive, man? How are you doing?
So good.
Oh, man. You can tell we're like coming off the finals hangover, but we're done now. I mean,
let's go. Yeah, I mean, Christmas.
For a couple weeks, I guess.
Who doesn't love Christmas? Yeah. We don't have any snow here in Utah right now, which is kind of tough.
Yeah, it's been nice this week, though. It's been a little chilly, but like just chilly enough to wear a jacket.
Yeah.
You'd be all right, you know?
It feels like we're probably just due for like a pretty big winter in January, February, maybe even into March. But
hopefully it's after my drive home to Idaho.
Yeah, drive safe up there. Yeah, but it's been a pretty good week for Jazz too.
Yes, sir. Yep. Yeah, only two games this week with the NBA Cup, but kind of some exciting things happening, at least in the latter half of the week, so...
Yeah, we'll take it. Yeah, we got a lot this episode. We got two games in the past week with the Clippers Pistons that we played, and our weekly player of the week will be awarded. We've also going to kind of take a break for Christmas, so we're going to dive into our predictions for the next 2 weeks of games, as well as a lot of trade rumors in this episode. We're going to get into all of them so that you know kind of what's going on with the Jazz. And then get into some NBA news and talk a little bit about some local sports.
Yes, sir. Don't forget to check out our past episodes. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts, we're there. You can find us at Tuned In Jazz. That's also where you can find us on Instagram. And you can check out all the conversations, get involved. And we would love to hear your thoughts. And this is episode 55 of Tuned In Jazz.
Well, to update our predictions throughout the year, I gained a lot on
you
last
sweat
week.
A little. Yeah.
I was pretty close with the Clippers loss being a big loss.
Yeah.
They ended up losing by a lot of points. And then Pistons was a win.
Yeah.
And by like 7. So my predictions were a little bit closer. I'm gaining on you. I think looks like right now I'm 377 points and you're at 356. And of course, for you listeners, just to remember the scoring system, we pick the margins every game and however many points were off is how many points were awarded. So we want a low score.
Yeah. And you got, you only added 18 total points this week and I added 52. So
yeah,
that was a good week for you.
That's probably the best week I've had so far. The Clippers game, I don't think either of us were gonna predict losing by that many points, but I did predict lose by 20, so that helped me out a lot.
Absolutely.
Well, I guess diving right into the Clippers game.
Yes, if we have to,
let's just do it really fast.
Yeah.
James Harden was cooking
41. Yeah.
I think after this game, like most NBA fans, we're just talking about how this was a retro James Harden game.
Harden
like he looked
game,
like
yeah.
kind of like his Houston self.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you can understand one thing from this game, it's that the Jazz are the worst defense in the NBA.
Yeah.
It's a tough night.
Sometimes I start to think Harden has something against the Jazz because I feel like it's like a yearly occurrence that he like pops off against the Jazz in a random game. And maybe it's just PTSD from the Houston days where we couldn't beat them. But really good game for him. Really the only bright spot, Jordan Clarkson had 20 points. I do have Johnny Juzang at 12 and he was 4-for-7, I guess fairly efficient. But just a really not great game for anybody on the Jazz this week.
Yeah, the Clippers were shooting well. They shot 59% to our 45%.
Yeah.
That's a big part of the game,
Yeah.
And then they did beat us in the rebounding battle 41-35, so that helps as well.
Yeah.
Those are always a couple of things that you definitely want to do to win. But yeah, I mean, Jordan Clarkson did have a decent game.
Mm-hmm. 22 turnovers doesn't help either, obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll also point out, our boy Chris Dunn, we got to see him play on the Clippers.
Yeah.
He's doing pretty well for them, actually. He's
12 points.
Pretty much similar to what he did for the Jazz, but now I feel like he's getting a little bit more attention because they're on a better team. So it's cool to see that he's doing well still. And
yeah,
he's getting up there in age.
I'm happy for him that he's kind of, it seems like he's their starting point guard now, like pretty solidly.
I mean, unless you call James Harden a point guard.
That's true, yeah. But he's in the starting lineup.
Guard James, rotation, yeah.
So kind of, I'm happy for him. He deserves that.
Yeah, definitely.
Very professional guy.
I also point out, of our rookies, Cody Williams did not play at all in this game. And then Isaiah Collier and Kyle Filipowski played like 12 or 15 minutes apiece. So
yeah,
they didn't play a whole lot, which is fine.
Yeah.
I think that Kyle Filipowski is still kind of getting back to his full health.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we did get a win against the Pistons.
Yes,
I don't
sir.
Know. What initial reaction, this game was awesome.
Yeah, I'll just get... Oh, wow. Yeah, like lots of... It's hard to just pick one or two guys. I mean, Lowry, Colin Sexton, Keontae scored like almost 90 points together. Yeah,
they all had great games.
Yeah. I thought Lowry had... this is probably his best game of the season so far, in my opinion. 27 and 14.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like a really well-rounded game. I saw he had a really nice block at the rim, too. Kind of got drowned out by some other big highlights, obviously. But
right. Well, I mean, we got to just... game. Talk about the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Oh, Keontae George. Gosh. That dunk was the dunk of the year, probably.
Who even knew he was capable of that? My goodness.
Literally a poster that's going to be on my wall in a couple months.
Yeah. Incredible.
Poor Jalen Duren. I think he's gotten dunked on a lot.
That's a strong guy to dunk over, though. Jalen Duren's pretty big dude. Yeah, I saw a clip. He was like reacting to it after. Like they showed him the clip. You know, in the press conference, and he was like talking about how he actually lost the ball and he was going to go up for a layup, and which is funny because it's like I don't know anybody that jumps that high up to go for a layup, but that's awesome.
He'll say that.
Yeah. Be humble. I like it. Rookies.
This
humble.
Reminds me. I thought one of the games of the year last year was also against the Pistons on the road. Do you remember when we like had that like one or two overtime game against the Pistons last year? Jordan Clarkson hit big shots.
Alec Burks
hit like a half court
shot. And Bogdanovich, right? They both
hit
game winners or whatever.
They both hit big shots. Yeah. Alec Burks hit the half court one.
That's right.
But that was the game of the year last year. We won in like one or two overtimes. This year, like same thing. This was one of our best games so far. It was kind of fun. This year, Malik Beasley kind of took that Alec Burks role.
Revenge game, bitch.
And Simone Fontecchio, so there's a lot of Jazz guys
I forgot.
On the other team. Yeah, Malik Beasley, he had 26 points, but he shot pretty bad. 9 for 26.
Yeah.
And 7 for 19 from 3. He was just chucking threes.
Yeah, not
like
great.
None other. So, good win for the Jazz. And I'll also point out, we talked about this before we hit record, but Colin Sexton had 10 turnovers.
Yeah.
Which is a Jazz record.
Yes, it is.
He's tied with like four or five other guys. Nobody's got 11, but he ties the record for most turnovers in a game.
Yeah, he's up there with elite company too. I think it's like John Stockton, Malone, Daryl Griffith,
Pete Maravich. Pete Maravich did it three times.
We might have to put Colin Sexton up on the Mount Rushmore of turnovers for the Jazz here pretty soon.
We're sorry, Colin, but he had a good game other than that.
We'll take it though. On a win. You could turn the ball over as many times as you want as long as we win, honestly. So
yeah, another thing, Jordan Clarkson almost like he squared up against Ron Holland in this game.
I did see that.
He got ejected for it, so
that was kind of interesting because like, I don't know, Ron Holland like wasn't even involved in the play and then he comes running in and squares
up.
He's
backing up his guy.
I guess, but the guy was like... The guy got in Jordan Clarkson's face first. I don't know. Maybe that's just my biased Jazz fandom here, but
I think the Pistons, like Jordan Clarkson, has their number. That's the only way they're going to be able to stop in this game.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, good game. And then also, Jazz had 48 points in the first quarter.
Yeah, that's a hot start.
So put your foot on the gas and then just don't let up after
Absolutely. Going back to the Keontae dunk, do you think? So far, do you think that's the highlight of the year that we've seen from the Jazz?
I think so. There was the only other play that I think rivals it, but I don't think is better, is like that game against the Mavericks where John Collins hit like the big shot
towards
the end. I mean, they left him wide open, but it's still clutch, right?
Yeah.
It is just kind of a close game.
Yeah.
So I'd say that could be up there too.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, Keontae's dunk is probably number one.
I think it's number one for me too. I
can't really think of any others.
Hopefully it'll be down the list by the end of the year. But. Okay, well, that takes us right into Player of the Week. My week to do that.
Drum roll, please.
It's been it was a little tough. I feel like last couple weeks has been a little tough for us to decide.
Yeah.
With just, like, this week, just such contrasting games here. But the player that I decided to go with this week, Colin Sexton.
Ooh.
I think he deserves Player of the Week this week. I'm not sure if he's won it this year.
No, that's his first time winning it.
Okay, so debuting it this week on Player of the Week. I just, you know, his new record, of course, puts him up there. But also 30 points against the Pistons. He did have 15 against the Clippers on 7 for 10 shooting, which is pretty efficient. He also didn't turn the ball over that much this week. Or this week he did, but on that game, he didn't turn the ball over a ton. In fact, he didn't turn it over at all. So I think a lot of players could make the case, but I think Colin Sexton had a pretty good week overall.
I love that for him because he played really well to the end of last season.
Yeah.
And then to start this season, he's been good, but not great.
Yeah.
We haven't really needed as much from him with some of the rookies getting more minutes too.
Definitely.
So I love that. He's been playing well, so I think that's a good shout out for him.
Absolutely.
Okay, well now we're gonna get into some Jazz news. And actually some predictions as well. Rather. We got, let's see, 6 games in the next 2 weeks. Through Christmas, we're gonna predict out until almost the new year.
Yep.
If not the new year. So first game is tonight versus Brooklyn in Brooklyn.
Yeah. I'm gonna say this one's gonna be a win. I think we're coming off a big win in the Pistons. I'm gonna say Jazz win a close one, win by 3.
Ooh. Okay, I've got a similar take. I got that Brooklyn wins by 4.
Ooh.
So I'm saying a close game, but just that we don't win.
Yeah. So not a lot of movement in our standings there.
I do think that Brooklyn is trying to tank because they traded Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah.
So that might hurt them a little bit. They might be a little bit worse than when we played them before.
Yeah, I saw that they were planning on moving Ben Simmons to point guard, which means they're tanking. So I'm just kidding. Well, he is a good passer.
Dude, Ben Simmons cooked us last time we played him. I don't know if you remember that last year.
That always has been Ben Simmons' skill, was passing too. Like, that's what he was good at out of college, so... Okay, and then on Monday, we continue our 3-game road trip, go to Cleveland to play the Cavaliers, our boy Donovan Mitchell. What you feeling about this game?
I got lose by 20.
Oh, okay.
I think they're rolling right now. I think it's going to be hard to win there.
Yeah, they are. I very similar. I got lose by 18. I think they just started so hot this year. They haven't been as hot as they were at the beginning, but that's not saying a lot because they're still 24-4. I think still the best record in the NBA.
They also have the best record at home in the NBA.
Yeah.
15-1.
That's
insane.
They've
only lost one game, so.
They've won 3 in a row at this point. Yeah, they're going to be a tough out in any situation, so that's a...
Then we go Thursday at Portland. You know, last time we won by 40 at Portland, so what do you got this time?
Well, I think it's going to be our second win of the week. Jazz going to win by 5, I think. This one won't be a blowout like it was last time. With young teams, I think it goes up and down a little. So I think it'll be a little closer, say win by 5.
That's fair. I think the Jazz are going to keep the tank rolling.
Oh, fair enough.
And I think we're only going to lose by 2.
Oh, okay.
Close game. And the Trailblazers record at home is like 6-7. So it's like 50-50.
Yeah, we're bound to split them, I guess.
So I don't know. I think Anthony Simons could get hot or Jeremy Grant could get hot, and maybe it's like a close game.
After that, we come home for a couple games. Play the 76ers next Saturday. Sixers are looking a little better than they were. Barely. They're currently 9-16. That's better than their 2 wins.
Still below the Pistons.
Yeah, still pretty bad. What are you feeling about the Sixers? Are they moving the needle this week?
Kind of similar to the last one. I think we are going to lose. I'll say lose by 8.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, we're on the same wavelength this week. I'm saying lose by 4. I guess it's a little different, but
okay.
I think it could be close, especially with Jared McCain being out for such a long period. Who knows if Joel Embiid's going to play? It seems like he's kind of been more consistent recently, but you never know. So
this could easily be a win, too.
It could be, yeah.
Just because the Sixers are a mess and we don't even know who's going to play.
Absolutely.
But I feel like if Embiid is out there, it's going to be hard. But
yeah, it's tough.
We'll see if he does. I don't know.
Yeah,
we should have looked if it's a back-to-back.
Yeah, Maxey's a tough guard for any of our guys, too. He's been cooking, so.
Yeah, I'm just pulling up, like, the Sixers' schedule just out of curiosity. And it looks like they play Boston 3 days before this, so it's not a back-to-back or anything.
A little rest.
So hopefully you'd expect most of their guys to play. And then we got Monday, Denver's coming to town.
Yep.
We've had some good games against Denver. They've usually taken them, but they also are looking a lot worse this year than last year.
Yeah, they are.
Who do you got against Denver?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a loss. I say we keep the tank rolling this game. Lost by 7 is what I'm going to say.
Okay, this is my only, like, out of the ordinary prediction. I'm going to say we beat Denver by 5.
Oh, okay.
Still semi-close.
Yeah.
Denver needs some help. They're not high in the standings.
Yeah.
And I think we can beat them in the Delta Center if we play a good game.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at our schedule. Like, we don't have any back-to-back games. Our games are, like, spread out the next couple of weeks, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
I can see us getting a surprise win with how much rest we'll be getting. And then Wednesday... we don't have a lot of rest. We're heading across the country to go play the Knicks. What are you feeling? What are you feeling about the Knicks?
It's hard to predict against the Knicks because last night they just killed the Timberwolves.
Yeah,
the cat looks so good.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna. But we did beat the Knicks at home, so you got to remember that.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna say Knicks win by 18.
Ooh. Okay. I'm pretty similar. Lost. Knicks win by 15. Is what I said.
Okay.
I think, going back to that cat game, it kind of made me a little sad for it. It seemed like he was like had a lot of emotions playing Minnesota. Maybe it wasn't like as mutual of a departure as we thought it was. But
anyways,
that's beside the point. Knicks are
rolling.
Knicks
right
can
now.
Show up and be really the best team in the NBA on any given night.
Yeah, and I also think Cat's from like New Jersey or New York area anyways, so kind of hometown for him way. They're rolling.
Definitely.
Okay, well, we'll see how those games go. I guess if you add up like the win loss.
Yeah, I got us going 2-4.
Us going 1-5.
Okay.
So
keeps the tank
probably
going
about
either
what
way.
We're expecting. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I guess speaking of the tank, I think we're still third for the best odds right now. Is that right?
Yes. Tankathon has us at third, which the top three teams get a 14% chance at the number one pick. So we're still right there, but Toronto and Charlotte are both just one win behind us. So
they're right on our butt. Toronto and Charlotte, they're both on losing streaks of 4-6.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
They're definitely trying to catch us right now.
That is true. Yeah.
I'll also add that the Wizards won a game this week. So previously they only had 3 wins, so
yeah, Jazz,
we got to start rooting for Jordan Poole.
Yeah, Jazz are kind of sandwiched between New Orleans has lost 5 in a row. They're 1-9 in their last 10. Oh my gosh, dude. There's no reason they should be that bad. New Orleans has so many. Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah, so everybody else is going on losing streaks. So the only way that we can keep this pick is or in the top three is if we keep losing. So,
yeah, seriously.
So maybe 1-5 or 2-4 ain't too bad.
Take that.
Yeah. Also, just to point out, the G League Salt Lake Stars, they played one game this week.
Okay.
I don't know how interested you are in that, but just to point it out, we did beat the Cleveland Charge.
Let's go.
121-98. And you probably just want to know how our rookies did. So Cody Williams had a decent game. He shot 46% from the field, which is good for him. Yeah, he had 19 bad. Points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks.
That's Cody Williams?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Good for him.
So he played some good defense. He shot He shot about how he usually shoots, but he had 19 points. And then our boy Isaiah Collier, he just had a quiet game, 6 points and 7 assists. And then Kyle Filipowski had a double-double, not shooting well from the field, but 11 and 11.
Yeah.
So good game for them. Mostly a good game for Cody Williams defensively and scoring.
Yeah, the thing I wonder, I keep seeing these like crazy stat lines from our boy Oscar Tshiebwe over there.
Yeah.
Like it makes me wonder.
He had a 19 and 20 rebound game. So
yeah, he's like almost consistently a 20-20 guy, which is kind of, it almost makes me question like, is there a spot in the NBA for him? Although that's not really like, I don't know. That's just some crazy stats. But
yeah,
I don't know. He'd be a hard one to play. Like finding the right situation would be tough, but kind of interesting.
Yeah, I don't know who's leading the G League in rebounds, but he's probably up there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have a couple of Jazz trade rumors. In today's NBA, with all the media and stuff, it's hard to know like what rumors are just some fans on the ESPN trade machine and which ones are actual based rumors from agents and GMs. But you seen any Jazz trade rumors this week that have stuck out to you?
Well, I think we've got a handful of them that we can go through. Maybe the one I could share is revolving around Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah.
The Denver Nuggets have shown some interest in him, as well as Zach LaVine and Jordan Poole. So it seems like they just want some more scoring and bucket getter guys.
Yeah, I could see that.
I could see that out of those three, Jordan Clarkson makes the least amount of money.
Yeah.
And the Nuggets are already like, if they're not over the second apron, they're like pretty close because of paying all their guys.
Yeah.
So I could see Clarkson being a good option for them. The only thing is, I don't know what we really want in return from the Nuggets.
Yeah, we'll take Jokic.
Maybe we could take Peyton Watson or
Christian Braun.
I wouldn't mind him.
Yeah, he wouldn't be bad.
He seems like a Nugget guy, though. I don't know if they want to trade him.
Yeah, that's probably.
Or a pick, because honestly, once Jokic is off the Nuggets, like maybe one of those picks like 5 or 6 or 7 years down the road.
Yeah.
Nuggets pick might not be a bad option.
Yeah, absolutely. The NBA is just really weird right now. Like, a team can win a championship and look like they're about to start a dynasty, and then in a couple of years, it's like they're ready to blow it up almost.
Yeah, Jokic is 30-plus. So.
Yeah, you look at the Bucks and the Knicks, the Nuggets, and both of them are like, I mean, I guess you can't really say that about the Bucks because they're doing well right now, but the Nuggets falling apart kind of crazy.
Yeah, and then we also saw some Lakers rumors.
Yeah.
Which seems like they're always in the rumors.
But. Yeah, Lakers are always shopping people around. I saw this interesting, I would love to get your reaction. We talked about it a little bit before, but there was like a proposed, I don't know if it's real or not, but like there was a proposed Lakers trade. Let me just read off, tell me what you think. So the Lakers would receive Colin Sexton and Walker Kessler. And the Jazz would get back D'Angelo Russell, Jalen Hood-Schifino, a first, and 2 seconds.
Is the first like far out?
The first is 2026.
Oh.
So probably not that great.
Mm.
Maybe late lottery, maybe. But what do you think? I don't know.
I do like the pick. That's probably the best thing in this trade.
Yeah.
Jalen Hood-Schifino has not looked good. He's kind of reminded me of like Dante Exum.
Yeah.
Like, if that, because he hasn't really been able to play or get developed.
No.
I don't know. I don't like it. I think I need more for Kessler. The Jazz have reported to turn down a lot of trades for him.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like they kind of agree that he shouldn't just be given up for like this kind of package.
No, yeah.
So, I mean, if they want Colin Sexton, I might actually be able to consider that kind of stuff. But if Kessler's in the trade, I don't think I would accept. I don't know. What are you thinking?
Yes, I don't know how much I would love D'Angelo Russell. I don't know if he'd want to play here. It doesn't seem like he would want to. He's kind of a big market guy, I feel like.
Yeah, he's been really spotty too.
Yeah.
But I could also see him having like a Jordan Clarkson type year
with
us.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the pick. I think for the right price, I'd be willing to give up Walker Kessler, but not just because, you know, like, there's no reason to trade him unless there's a piece that we actually think would be better, you know, and I don't think any of the pieces here, not even that.
That pick is going to be late lottery, right? We don't even know if that would pan out to anything.
Especially
like
if they had Colin Sexton and Walker Kessler, even if LeBron retired, those two guys and Anthony Davis and Dalton Knecht, like, looking like he's looking at Austin Reeves.
Would you trade Sexton to the Lakers for Knecht?
Interesting.
I don't know if the salaries would work.
Yeah,
in that
definitely
trade.
Wouldn't work out. But
maybe they throw Jared Vanderbilt back. Comes back here because he's getting paid a decent
maybe,
amount.
Yeah, I could see that.
Or like Rui Hachimura.
I actually really like Dalton Knecht. The tough thing is his age. I mean, I know that was the thing coming into the draft, but I also think Dalton Knecht's works because he's on the Lakers. Like, I don't know how much he would work on the Jazz the same way, but that would be an interesting
trade. It'd be more
trade.
Intriguing to me.
Yeah, I would consider that one a little more.
Yeah, so maybe, I don't know, maybe the Lakers do have some pieces, but I just think they don't have enough for Kessler.
No, definitely not.
And then also John Collins, of course, is in trades because he's been looking so good.
Yeah.
The thing with him, though, is he's making like $24 million.
Yeah.
So whatever we trade, it's got to be for some big contracts.
Yeah.
But I found this article gives three trade destinations for John Collins. Just maybe give me a rating like 1 out of 10. Like how likely do you think these trades would be to actually happen?
Okay.
So the first one's to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Interesting.
They're thinking a package of Brooke Lopez, Andre Jackson Jr., and Marjon Beauchamp for John Collins. I don't know. Maybe this would mean like John Collins would be their center.
Maybe.
Or
yeah.
Bobby Portis would be their center with John
maybe
Collins.
Maybe Giannis comes off the bench. I'm just joking.
So I don't know. How likely do you think that would be?
I'd probably middle of the road on that one. I do like Marjon Beauchamp a lot. I think that's a favorable trade for the Jazz. I'd be surprised if the Bucks.
I don't think they're that ready to give up Brook Lopez.
No, I don't
think
so.
He's just played on their team so long. He knows how it works.
Yeah, I don't know what that would do for the Bucks either. It doesn't really give them. John Collins isn't like a great rim protector. I guess Giannis does that well enough. Maybe they're thinking they would think like that could work well together. I don't know. That would be interesting. Probably like a 5 out of 10 on that one.
Yeah. Next is Cleveland Cavaliers. This one's intriguing. Okay. So we would give up Walker Kessler and John Collins. Okay. They would give up Jarrett Allen, Isaac Okoro, and a second round pick.
Interesting. I actually do really low-key like Isaac Okoro. And Jazz have had some luck with small forwards from the Cleveland Cavaliers.
That's true.
Recently. And Jared Allen was an all-star a couple years ago. That could be interesting. I could see it working out. I'd say like a 7 or 8 out of 10 on that one. I think it would be good.
I still like Walker Kessler's upside to Jared Allen's. So yeah. I would probably say no, but like I'm close. Like if they threw in something else.
Yeah.
Or instead of Isaac Okoro, maybe we get somebody a little bit. More promising than maybe.
We would say make it a first, but I think we already have all their first round
picks. Yeah, I don't think they can give any more. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Okay, and then the last team, Memphis Grizzlies.
Oh, okay.
The package would be we would just give up John Collins. That's it. They would give up Brandon Clark, a former Utah player. Yeah. Santi Aldama, who's been hooping. John Conchar. I'm guessing the contract of Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
And a 2027 first round pick.
2027. Interesting. That pick could be a little volatile. Could be good, could be bad.
Yeah. They never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, they were pretty bad last year and they're decent this year, I guess. Ooh, I don't know. That would also be just on the other side of it. It would be kind of fun to watch John Collins and John Morant like flying around.
I think he would fit with their team.
That's a good, really good fit. And I don't mind that. I like Santi Aldama a lot. I could see that being a good trade. I'd say 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10 maybe.
Yeah, I think this is the most likely for me.
Yeah.
Because the Grizzlies want to compete.
Absolutely.
And John Collins will help them do that.
Yeah.
And then we get a couple like rotational players and a first round pick.
Yeah.
So I think the fact, honestly, the first round pick's the best part of the trade. If they give us a first, I'm there.
Absolutely.
But then the fact that we get at least a couple rotation players is great for me. So I would say, yeah.
Well, and if you think about what we got, I think we got John Collins for basically a second round pick.
Yeah, Rudy Gay.
And Rudy Gay, yeah. So it was basically just a second round pick because Rudy Gay was probably going to get waived anyways.
Right.
So if you could turn a second round pick into a first round pick, we'll take that any day of the week, even if it's a couple years removed, I guess.
Well, we'll be interested to see what happens. I think those guys are the main guys on the trade market. We talked last time about the Patty Mills, V. Mikhailuk getting trade eligible.
Yeah.
But we don't really know. They might just be a filler.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then just some NBA news. Everybody and their mom is talking about how the NBA ratings are down.
Yep. Yeah.
So let's talk about it for just like real briefly. We don't need to go into it too much, but yeah, what do you think's going on? Why are people not watching basketball? Like,
man,
it's by a lot, right? Pretty good margin.
It is. Yeah, I think over the last like 7 or 8 years, we're down like 50% in ratings or something.
Wow.
And then this year specifically, we're down like 20% or something like that. I don't know. One of the most common explanations I've seen is just that we're taking too many threes. I don't know if you've seen it, but there's like these charts that show like shot charts in the 2000s, 2010s, and now. And now it's literally just all shots at the basket and shots behind the arc. There's no mid-range at all.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, I think that, you know, basketball's like going to evolve naturally. Teams are going to start to understand what's going to help them win. And just three-pointers is just the way we do it now. Like, I don't know if that's a problem you can fix, you know? Like, I saw Colin Cohard. I don't know if you listen to him, but he suggested that we just move the three-point arc out to the sideline so that there's no corner threes.
Yeah.
Kind of would force people to do mid-range. I don't know. That just feels pretty drastic to me.
I agree.
Yeah. Or like a limit on threes in the game, which also feels really... I don't know if that would be fun to watch. I don't feel like that would be very fun to watch. So, I don't know. What have you been hearing? What do you think of?
I mean, in the summer, we watched some like older games where some people are saying was better for ratings. Yeah. Like, we watched the Deron Williams like 2000s basketball. They were shooting mid-range in the corner.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I like the idea that it's more spaced out.
I do too,
because I think that helps like... It just like the flow of basketball feels better.
Yeah.
Like everybody's got space to operate.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing like the most efficient, high scoring games we've ever had.
Yeah.
Some people like that. Some people don't. But I think most casual NBA fans like scoring.
Absolutely.
So I think the fact that we got the threes going just is higher scoring, which is cool.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the older NBA fans like big poster dunks. We're still getting those.
Like, absolutely.
We saw one last night with Keontae. It's not like we're not getting poster dunks. Maybe we're getting a little bit less, but
yeah.
And then the weird thing for me is I would think that there'd be less injuries with more threes, but no, there's actually more. It seems like there's more injuries. Yeah. I think more than the 3-point, it's like the load management, like guys not playing.
Yeah.
Like if you had Joel Embiid play 82 games the past 2 years, I think the ratings would be up just on that.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think part of it's just you got to have the players play. I think another thing is a lot of people watch like highlights and just short videos of basketball now instead of watching the full game. So I think part of it's just making the games more available and less ads.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's the thing. The ratings might be down, but I have a hard time believing that engagement is down. Because, like, if you go on Twitter and you follow any type of NBA people, you're going to see debates like every hour of the day. People are talking about like different things in the NBA. Same thing on any social media that you go on. I agree with you, though. I feel like in order to watch the NBA in 2024, you have to have like four different subscriptions.
Yeah.
And you're paying like well over $1,000 a year to watch those games. And it's like, I love what the Jazz are doing because, like, you know, for me, I've been paying for the Jazz Plus. I even added the Hockey SEG Plus this year. I wouldn't mind paying couple hundred bucks a year to watch NBA games. And I think a lot of people would probably pay that if there wasn't like blackout stuff.
I think it's not that bad. I think the league pass is about that.
Yeah,
it's not too expensive.
I think,
but
the problem is like 40% of those games are all blackout.
Yeah. But you can't watch any of the Jazz games on NBA League Pass, which is, I think, is the hardest part.
Yeah.
And then most guys that, or most people that watch NBA want to watch their team.
Yeah.
Right. So if you live in Utah, you want to watch Utah.
Absolutely.
You got to pay a lot.
Yeah.
And if you get League Pass, you can't watch it. So it's kind of weird.
That's tough. Yeah.
So I agree with that. Just making it more available. I think load management, guys got to play.
Absolutely.
And I don't mind the threes too much.
Yeah.
Another thing that's just kind of interesting to me, the NFL is scheduling two games on Christmas, which I don't think they've done before. But since I was little, I always thought Christmas was a basketball holiday.
NBA, yeah.
Like there's always best basketball games on Christmas. We used to see the Cavs and Warriors play on Christmas with those cool jerseys.
Yeah.
Or Lakers and Celtics or whatever. I think Lakers and Celtics was last year.
Yeah.
There's always some good games. So I don't know. Do you think the NFL should be able to schedule for Christmas or do you think that should be the NBA's holiday?
I don't know. I'm still going to watch the NBA probably on that day.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There's just like so much sports going on this time of year, especially with college football expanding out their stuff too. I feel like it's already just kind of a lot. So I'm surprised the NFL's trying to take another day of people's time.
I know.
I can understand.
They got two games that look pretty interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. In other NBA news, we had some Hall of Fame finalists.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you know, my favorite player of all time is Vince Carter.
Ooh, I didn't know that, actually.
Love Vince Carter.
That's fair.
But he's a finalist.
Yes, he is.
I think he should make it, but
yep.
We'll see. any other finalists stand out to you?
Yeah, Chauncey Billups is one. That's a little surprising, but although Chauncey Billups had a really good run, I think he had a finals MVP.
Yeah, in 2004.
Right? Detroit, yep. Really good years with the Nuggets as well, and a little run with the Clippers, if I'm remembering right. That's a good pick. I saw something for next year too. I think next year is going to be a really big class with like Carmelo Anthony. And
is it like Dwayne Wade or is he already in?
Dwayne Wade's already in. I think he's already in. Dwight Howard's eligible next year. Mark Gasol. Right. Amari Stoudemire, I saw was on, I don't know. Amari Stoudemire's been eligible though, so I don't know if that one's ever going to happen, but yeah, kind of interesting. It feels like a pretty big list.
I think it's cool they nominated Jerry West as like a GM.
Yeah,
he's already in there as a player and everything, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
there's any way he doesn't make it.
They should just name the Hall of Fame after him, honestly.
I mean, he is the logo.
Yeah, especially if they're not going to acknowledge that the logo's him, probably. Name the Hall of Fame after. NBA Cup came to an end.
Neither that was exciting. I enjoyed it as a partial Bucks fan from living there.
It was good.
It was a good game.
Yeah,
Giannis went crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
They just couldn't stop him because they had Hartenstein guarding Brooke Lopez.
Yeah.
And so like Giannis just went to town against Jalen Williams and whoever was guarding him.
Yeah. Barbecue chicken down there if you see.
Yeah. And the Thunder shot awful from three.
Yeah.
They couldn't buy a bucket. Shea was missing a lot of shots.
Mm.
The whole team was missing a lot of shots. If they made like their normal percent from three, they might have won this game, but they just couldn't hit a shot.
Yeah, I think that's gonna be the big question mark for the Thunder. I still in my mind feel like they're the favorite to go to the finals this year. But can they play well in big games? They're still pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be the biggest question mark for me with them. I think the Bucks I don't think that the Bucks are a more talented team than Oklahoma City, but I do think they have more experience, which helped them a lot here.
Yeah, definitely. I also think Damian Lillard's kind of shown this year that he's still him.
Absolutely.
Like a lot of people last year, because Dame made the All-Star starters last year, a lot of people thought that he didn't deserve it, including myself.
Yeah.
But this year, he's starting to kind of just show people that he's still him. He's still a really good player. And,
absolutely.
I think he'll easily make the All-Star, at least. The voting just started. We'll see who makes it.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw a voting thing. We talked last week about the new format. It's been officially announced now, the three teams of eight. Kind of makes me wonder, like, will they still vote for starters? I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would assume they would, but it's going to be kind of weird how voting's going to work this year, but kind of interesting. How's your fantasy team doing?
I mean, Giannis is carrying, as yes, always, sir. And then I'm playing the top guy in the league.
Nice, let's go.
And I'm beating him right now, so
let's go.
We'll see what happens. Zach LaVine also had a big game.
Yeah.
He had his career high of, like, 36.
Dang,
and
okay.
Then Cam Johnson had 33, so, like,
nice.
Everybody's balling out right now, so
yeah.
It's looking good. We'll see if I win. I can bring the top guy down.
Nice, let's go.
How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. Well, I'm on, like, a 2 or 3 game win streak now. I think I moved up to like third or second in the league, although it's still pretty close.
I think you're second. I'm
third. Second. Okay, nice. We're right there.
Yeah.
Probably tied though, right?
I think I'm 1.5 games behind you.
Okay,
like,
so not too bad. And we go by categories, so that could switch pretty easily. I haven't had a lot of players play this week. I think it's been a really down week for the NBA with the NBA Cup. So I'm losing this week, so I probably will lose this week because I'm kind of getting killed, so.
Hey, there's still a couple more days.
That's true. That is true. I got almost all my guys playing tonight. So maybe tonight's the night I come back.
And then I guess get into some local sports.
Yes, sir.
I mean, we should probably have a bigger chunk of the episode for this because we just kind of like barely glaze over local sports. But man, Utah Hockey Club is killing it right now.
Yes, they are.
I don't know what got into them. We should have picked the game to go to. Be in December instead of the previous month because they've just been on a hot streak. They've won 4 games in a row. But yeah, how are you feeling about this team? Are you kind of thinking we should just expect a playoff berth at this point?
Oh man! Oh, can you imagine our first year in the NHL having a playoff game at the Delta Center? Would be like, oh, that'd be so electric. I hope so. 16-11-5 is pretty good.
We're 1 point out of the wild card.
Are we? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go. Yeah, so we're right there. And even with, like, it seems like there's been a new injury announced every week. Maybe that's just the nature of hockey. I don't know. But we're still playing really well. It just seems like we've got a lot of guys just stepping up. And so,
we've been playing good teams, too. We beat the Wild yesterday.
Mm.
The Wild are a pretty good team.
Yeah.
They're second in our division. We beat the Avalanche as well. The Avalanche are third in our division.
Dang.
So, like, we're not playing, like, a cupcake schedule. Like, I know I don't really know hockey as well as others, but we're playing teams that have a better record than us, and we're beating them in this stretch. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I think you should hope for a playoff berth. Of course, same with basketball. There's like 82 games, so don't get too excited. We're only 32 games in, but pretty good start and pretty good stretch right now.
Absolutely.
So I could definitely see us sneaking into that wild card because we've been creeping up to there the last week or two.
Yeah, absolutely. BYU basketball update, we won last night. I don't know if you saw that game. Kenan Ketching was hooping.
Domination to Florida A&M.
Yeah. Yeah, we went like... I think we were down like 7-2. I was getting a little nervous at the beginning, and then we just like flipped a switch, and it was like 50-20 at halftime. Kenan Ketchin was balling. He was 5-for-6 at halftime, 3-for-4 from three.
Yeah, and we need that from him. He's
absolutely.
Kind of having some down games.
And they were like, one thing I was really impressed, I felt like he showed a lot of maturity. Like a lot of times, like he was touching the ball in almost every play, but he didn't shoot every play, which is not what we were seeing at the beginning of the season. Every time he touched the ball, he was going for it, which, you know, we do want him to have some confidence, but not for every shot. I don't know if did you see those dunks from AJ DeBonsa this week.
Dude, I watched that before. Man, he's not even like in the same stratosphere as high school players. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Honestly, he should be in college already. He's so good.
Yeah, he's a freak, dude. I think the first dunk, he was like a fast break and he goes under one leg, does a windmill. And then the next time he goes under both legs, like in game, it's just insane.
If you're like on the other high school team playing him, like what do you do?
Like seriously, yeah.
he's like the number one prospect. He's dunking on fast breaks. Like,
yeah.
At that point, you just like plead mercy.
Yeah.
Like please sub him out.
Yeah, and I saw the one where he went under both legs, the score, like you could see the scoreboard up in the corner, was 78-28. So I don't know if they were just playing the school for girls or something, but there was
not a
lot of competition. I think they were in Hawaii too. It was like it was some kind of event in Hawaii, but I'm so excited to see him come play here. It's going to be so exciting. Yeah,
also with BYU, Yegor Demin, it doesn't look like he played.
Yeah, he's been struggling with some injuries.
He's still injured, so hopefully he gets back soon. Yeah. I don't know if you saw, Yegor was on the Center Street Media, like new BYU podcast.
Oh, I didn't watch it, but I did see it.
Yeah, they interviewed him for like 30 minutes, and it was cool. He talked about how he's liked BYU, the classes, the vibe, the rock. He has been to a couple women's basketball games the Rock, so that's pretty cool. I think the funniest thing that he said was when they were doing Halloween, him and Trey Stewart were going to be matching costumes.
Uh-huh.
Yegor was going to be a waffle because of Ego or Yego.
Yeah,
but he backed out. He didn't actually wear it.
Oh,
so,
man.
I think that could be one of his nicknames now is Ego Demon.
Let's go. I love
it. So he's been, when he's played, he's been doing good, but we want to see him back. Hopefully he's not too injured.
I think he's missed the last three. I love him a lot. It's cool when you see like big names come into the state of Utah in any capacity and just embrace us, you know? Like,
yeah.
We don't always see Jazz players do that either. Like it's really refreshing to see somebody who like wants to be here, is excited about the culture here, is not complaining about things, and like it's awesome.
Yeah, I also like how he's super humble.
Oh yeah,
he's going to be an NBA player most likely, and you would never know if you didn't know he was going to be an NBA player. He just seems like a normal guy. He's just having fun at college, just like any other college student, right? And I think it's cool that he doesn't get too prideful about the NBA and he's just having fun.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
It's kind of crazy because I've seen like so many rankings of like the top freshmen or the top point guards in college basketball and like nobody's talking about Yegor Demin. Like I know like NBA people are, but like the normal college basketball fan doesn't know anything about Yegor Demin.
Right.
So I'm really hoping for him that he just has a really big March. Like I hope March is...
That's when good players become stars.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So
I'm hoping by then we'll figure things out. I think Richie Saunders also had an injury this week, concussion, which is pretty bad. So he missed last night, but they said he'll be back. We got a Big 12 play on the 31st of the next game.
So it'll be a big game.
Yep. Kind of exciting. Players on a state. So we'll get the win. Well, thank you so much for joining us on our episode this week. Again, don't forget to check out our past episodes on Spotify, Apple, YouTube Podcasts. Wherever you listen, we're there. Also find us on Instagram. And we hope that you are happy, safe, and that you have a very Merry Christmas. Peace.
Take care.